You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Mike Reese joins us, does an excellent job covering the Patriots for ESPN. Mike, thrilled to have you on tonight. Thank you so much for taking the time, my friend.
Great to be with you, Anita. Hope you're doing well, and all the listeners, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, so let me dive into... I was home all day today, working from home today, and I watched a number of programs. Not one analyst, not one host, Mike, even put out the notion or the assumption that Jared Stidham could possibly be the starting quarterback week one for the Patriots. Now we're being told this is a competition, right? We're being told this is a competition. Is that beyond the realm of comprehension to think that Jared Stidham could be the starting quarterback week one this coming NFL season?
Certainly not. You know, there's a couple ifs that have to fall into place for Cam Newton, for him to win the job. And the first if is, you know, if he fits into this culture and system, which is different from what he's been a part of. And sometimes, you know, it looks good from the outside, and then you get inside where the Patriots have a hard-grinding culture, and you have to check your ego at the locker room door and put the team first, and that can be a hard transition for some players. Sometimes it works, like Randy Moss, Corey Dillon, Darrell Revis. Sometimes it doesn't work. Chad Ochocinco, Antonio Brown, a couple that come to mind in that category. And then the other part of it, the big if for Cam is, you know, just how does it fit, you know, if it fits in this system football-wise. You know, this is a different way of doing things offensively than he's been accustomed to playing.
Beyond that, like, here's another thing. Nobody's talking about COVID-19, Mike. I know everybody's supposed to arrive at their training camps July 28th, but local governments are going to dictate whether or not teams in Florida and Arizona and North Carolina and Texas can arrive. Do you think Roger Goodell and the NFL is going to say, okay, Giants, Jets, Bills, Patriots, Eagles, Redskins, sure, you guys can attend your camp at July 28th. Oh, but Dolphins, Bucks, Jaguars, Cowboys, Texans, Cardinals, no, you got your local government says you can't, so we're going to hold you. And I say this that I'm anticipating a shortened preseason, possibly no preseason games. How's Cam going to learn? You just talked about a very intricate system.
Yeah.
How's Cam going to learn this system and be able to execute it to the best of his ability if he has no time to do so?
Great point, Anita, and that's another. So if you look at the factors and say, okay, if you're measuring who's the starter, you're saying, okay, based on pure talent, resume, and big game experience, it's Cam, like, based on what he's done. But if you're talking about knowledge in the system, relationships already formed in the locker room, connections already made between quarterback and receiver in the locker room, like, that edge goes to Jared Stidham, who was here all year last year and as recently as 4 weeks ago was leading some player workouts, you know, at a local school outside of Boston, taking a leadership role, and players were responding to him in that form.
Again, Mike Reese joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, just because, you know, I, and again, in listening to a number of analysts, like, I hear them say, well, you know, Bill's high on Stidham, but really, how high is he on Stidham? Like, what's the real analysis? Like, what's the real take on Stidham with Bill and Josh and the Patriots? How much do they believe in this kid?
So I think I always make the analogy to where we were in 2001 when Tom Brady was in his second year. And you could also make a connection to Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, in 2015 when he was in his second year. Things were heading in the right direction for both of those guys, and they were coming, you know, and they were going to make a charge, you know, for an increased role. And that's where Jared Stidham is. But the same thing with Tom in 2001. Like, they didn't know what he was going to become at that time. Like, he still had to go out and do it. And same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. As much as they liked him, like, until he got in there and had to start those games at the start of 2016, when Tom Brady was serving that four-game NFL suspension, like, there was still a blind spot as to how that was going to go and how he was going to respond. So you never know for sure, Anita. You know, the player's got to go do it, and the only way to get experience is to go play. So I think the way I would answer it is, if they went into the season with him, I think they felt confident that they could be competitive with pieces around him to help him grow on the job and possibly become, and you know, what some of those other young quarterbacks grew into.
So, Mike, and you know, obviously you've got your finger on the pulse of this team better than anyone, and you've been around this young man for as long as he's been drafted by the Patriots. What is your take? Do you feel, how do you think, well, first of all, has Jared Stidham had any comment or any conversation with anyone? Like, how is he accepting it? And two-part question here is, based on your experience with him, is he the kind of dude who's like, oh, okay, game on, let's bring it, I'm open for this? Or is he, or do you think he's kind of sitting back going, oh, damn, man, this was my shot, and now they're bringing in Cam, and like, you know, what if you can, assuming, put us in the mind of what a Jared Stidham is thinking about right now, Mike?
I don't think he's had any comment. I haven't seen anything, and I have to be honest, I haven't looked too closely at his social media, so I might have missed it in that regard. But so there's two thoughts here, Anita. I mean, I have no doubt it's the second thing that you mentioned. Like, bring it on. Let's go. You know, like, and I'm sure it was communicated to him by Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels that, hey, look, this is absolutely nothing to do with the way we feel about you, but a unique opportunity at a cost. Like, we were handcuffed. We could only offer so much because we're the tightest team to the cap, and yet the player was willing to accept it. Like, we just were always going to do what we feel is in the best interest of the team and improving the talent on our team because we think that makes everyone better. And I believe Jared Stidham will rise up to that type of challenge, and I think he'll buy that because it's really the truth. I mean, that's the track record of Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And in that sense, Anita, they're going to learn a lot more about Jared Stidham with how he actually responds when they get together and practice and ultimately play games.
Here's another one for you, Mike, okay? And we've both been covering the NFL for a long time. We know how preseason goes. Whenever there's a quarterback competition, unfortunately, one of the negatives about it is whoever wins the job has less time with the first team because they've been in a quarterback competition, and you want to even out first team reps with who you're competing with, right? It's not fair if you take Cam Newton and you put him with the ones, and then you put Jared Stidham with the twos and vice versa. It's not fair. So compound that in a pandemic training camp with less time, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. If ever there was a season, it would be this one that you would want your starter to have the most time. And of course, we know this, the collective bargaining agreement, you're only allowed so much time in practice. You can't have extra time. If you do, one of the players are going to rat you out. So, you're like, if ever there was a time that you don't want to have a quarterback competition, it's right now, Mike.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and yet that's the situation that they find themselves in. One, you know, and you're right. If they cut down the preseason games, you know, over four games, you could probably find enough, you know, snaps to go around. I've seen that before because they've had competitions more, obviously, more for the backup spot. Like last year, Jarrett played a lot over Brian Hoyer. Like, they know what they have in Brian Hoyer. They have a little bit of an idea of what they have in Stidham, but still that blind spot, and they're certainly going to want to get Cam as much time as possible to get a better feel for what he does well. So I think it's a good point by you. Is it an ideal situation for them? No, but in the words of Belichick, it is what it is, and I don't think it's anything they can't overcome. It's not insurmountable, but certainly not ideal.
Mike, some other news out there. We know that Odell Beckham Jr. has been spending some time working out and training with Cam Newton. Now he's with the Patriots, and there's been some talk and speculation in regard to Odell Beckham Jr. being traded from the Cleveland Browns. I know he came out today and said, I still have unfinished business in Cleveland, but listen, track record, you can't believe anything that Odell Beckham Jr. says. I preface by saying, is there a chance? I'm asking, is there any chance that the Patriots trade for Odell Beckham Jr.? Could that even happen, even if they wanted to?
I think it would be hard just based on their economic situation right now. I mean, they basically had to get Cam Newton to come in and take, you know, a bottom level type deal, because that's really all they could offer. I mean, and they're going to have to make some type of adjustment to fit Cam, you know, under their cap. So, you know, obviously teams can always do that if they're motivated enough to bring a player aboard, but it just seems to me like a lot of things would have to fall into place for that to happen. You never say never, just like, you know, this Cam thing is a good example of that, right? Like, I mean, I probably wouldn't have thought that was possible 3-4 months ago, just given the whole financial picture. I never thought Cam would be on that type of contract. So I guess you never close the door on it, but that's more from the context of, really, I never close the door on anything, you know, and because of the way the unpredictable nature of this business can be.
Would they ever consider bringing Antonio Brown back? That was another name that surfaced today that there's, you know, from what I understand, the Baltimore Ravens might be interested. Or has that ship sailed already?
Well, no, Sid, there you go, Anita, making me look bad, because that is the one thing that I will say will not happen. Right? Here I am saying that you never say never, and then you mentioned maybe the one thing, Anita, the one thing that I can literally bang my hand on the table and say, never, it ain't happening here in New England.
Interesting. So this is what these two dudes are working with, right? Like, this is it?
I would say, I mean, as of now, yes. I mean, and so, yeah, I mean, but you never, there's going to be an injury, and you never know what happens down the road. But I would say I wouldn't expect any major, you know, skill position addition. I mean, like we've been saying, I mean, their limited ability to move right now. I mean, at some point, that just sort of, you got to say, hey, this is what we have. And like you said, in a shortened preseason, let's get the guys we have ready to go.
Mike, thank you so much for spending time with us this evening. I really do appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Anita.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.